our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 24, the stanzas 1 and 2. Who, O Lord, with thee abiding in thy house shall be thy guest, who was feet to Zion turning in thy holy hill shall rest, and what follows, Psalter 24, the first two stanzas. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Proverbs 12. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, who was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Proverbs 12. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish. A good man obtaineth favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The wicked are overthrown and are not, but the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honoreth himself and lacketh bread. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. In the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. We announced that Jenna Hengstemengel was privileged to come home from the hospital today. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when thou was granted on the second time on the Sabbath day that the doors of thy house have been opened, and where thou was granted the privilege and the opportunity to enter those doors, and then by renewal with our unclean lips as a sinful people, then we attempt to approach unto thee, the highest majesty, which are so high and lifted up, and we are but a company of poor sinners, Lord. Then each time by renewal it is so indispensable that thou grantest an upright, a true impression of these matters, a profound impression of our sinnership and of our great needs. The temporal needs are manifold, the needs for our never-dying soul, they are the greatest. Then also in this day, then thy mercies have been multiplied. We have received so many precious things from above, and that in a difference with most of the people upon the earth. But, Lord, we have to confess that the earth is so full of thy goodness and so empty of thy praise. May that be our shame and our guilt. We humbly ask thee, Lord, for a blessing upon thy holy word, when in this evening hour by renewal we are called upon to dwell at the foot of Mount Sinai and to hear thy holy law, Lord. May it be for uncovering, may it be for a shaming, humility, and that there may be a fleeing to the fountain of blood. Lord, may it please thee that thy word may be blessed for the conversion of boys and girls, our young people, the middle-aged and the elderly ones, that in this evening we may receive a true impression, and that by the first time and by renewal, that if our sins have not been pardoned, then they are still all on our account, and thy justice demands a perfect satisfaction. Nay, there have come a people up to thy house, burdened, ashamed of their sins, and burdened with their debts, a people that have learned the exceeding sinfulness of sin, and a people that are given to learn more and more, that they can never pay, that it is becoming so hopeless from their side. But, Lord, then thou still proclaimest that thou wast sent thy dear Son upon this world, that he has paid the price, and now the King on thy right hand, where he is gathering, where he is teaching, where he is preserving, and where he is defending the church. Then in this morning hour, then we have also beheld that visible gospel, Lord. May it have been used for this one or for that one, that they were given to look upon that precious blood, and where he is able to save to the uttermost, no sinner too black, no sinner too vile. Lord, grant no rest outside of that only name given under heaven, whereby we must be saved. Then by renewal, we commend those parents unto thee, that were privileged to present their little one to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant and thy thrice holy name upon their little foreheads. Lord, may they not be finished with the sacrament, but may they be found oftentimes in secret places, crying unto thee, that thou may convert the family circles. May in this dark and evil time, may we be given to ask great things, because thou art such a great God. Lord, bless the manifold means of grace in the church. Help the consistory to that end. Help fathers and mothers in the family circles. And wilt thou remember our Christian school? The school year is coming closer to an end than thou hast spared staff and students hitherto. Wilt thou continue to do so? And then we commend in a special way our students unto thee, who were called upon to write exams also in this week. Lord, thou knowest what a mountain it can be. Thou wast given to the one more talents than another. But may their eyes be upon thee. Wilt thou help them with studying and with writing their exams? Grant them a place at thy footstool, and wilt thou be their helper ever near? We commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth. Wilt thou remember the students, especially him who has become a candidate? May it please thee to direct his way, to grant clear direction, and to follow thee and sown and unsown ways. We commend unto thee the persecuted church, the Jewish people, the church in a country where there is war, with so much distress, May it be used for the coming of thy kingdom, and that thy children may be given by thy grace, by thy Spirit, to make their calling and election sure. Remember all mission work, also our mission field, thy servants and the team, and thou knowest the great need in thy church, servants for thy vineyard, a church worker for our mission field, may a heart be inclined, and also teachers for our Christian schools. Lord, remember the nations of the earth. Remember also our poor nation in these dark and evil times, where there is such a great departing and no repentance concerning thy holy word. Wilt thou grant unto us and our children eyes to see the signs of the time, hearts to perceive, and that there may be a hastening for our life's sake, that we and our children may find a hiding place under the sheltering wings of Emmanuel. Then it shall be well for body and soul, because thy dear Son, he has purchased this church for body and for soul. Wilt thou also grant the exercises of faith in the life of thy children concerning these matters? Oh, that tender and close life and a trusting in thee given to behold, that thou art such an almighty God, that thou art too wise to err. Lord, remember all the special needs in the midst of us, then by renewal, then we commend that Father lying before the gates of eternity for body and soul unto thee. Remember his dear wife, the family circle, then thou wert speaking in a special way. We remember all our elderly ones, those in the care home, with all those that may lovingly care for them, those that may go in and out. Then there is one thing needful, and that is to be prepared to meet our Maker in righteousness and peace. May it please thee to also work abundantly in the midst of our elderly ones. Lord, remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the grave. Wilt thou continue to uphold them, and remember all under the physician's care. We may acknowledge thee, that a little daughter may return home from the hospital. Wilt thou grant a thankful and humble heart, even outwardly, but above all inwardly by the work of thy Holy Spirit, and may also this calling be sanctified. Remember all the handicapped ones, remember all the burdens, difficulties of the body and difficulties of the mind. Wilt thou provide for our daily bread? Once more we may acknowledge thee for the showers which thou hast given upon the thirsty earth. We may humbly ask thee, although we have to confess sin away undeserved, that thou may continue to grant those showers, that there may be food for man and beast. Wilt thou remember the family circles? May love abound between husbands and wives, between parents and children. When it is not so, wilt thou grant a repentance of place at thy footstool? What has been separated, bring it together. according to thy holy word. Remember all those that are struggling with temptations and addictions. May thou grant deliverance, wilt thou grant repentance, humbly asking of thee, that thou may be their helper ever near. Lord, then in this evening, then we humbly ask thee for thy help. Send help from the sanctuary and strengthen out of Zion. And wilt thou remember all the listeners? Remember our little boys and our little girls. Wilt thou help them to understand? Ah, thou only needest one word. But what the children need, that we all need, may so thy word go forth with power divine also into the dwellings where there are those that are at home taking care for the little ones and other lawful reasons. Wilt thou so grant a little rest? Wilt thou bind the devil? And Lord, we have nothing to plead upon. Our sins, they are great and manifold, and necessary each time, that we may have a lively impression thereof, and that there are yet those tears shed by the first time and by renewal, those true mourners in Zion, and a need for that precious blood. May then the outgoing of this service be for the coming of thy kingdom and the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 145, the stanzas 1 through 5. Almighty man, why wilt thou boast thyself in hateful cruelty? When God Almighty is most kind and ever merciful is he. And what follows, Psalter 145, the first 5 stanzas. in this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 43, question 112, what is required in the ninth commandment? Answer, that I bear false witness against no man, nor falsify any man's words, that I be no backbiter nor slanderer, that I do not judge nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard, but that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil, unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. Likewise, that in judgment and all other dealings, I love the truth, speak it uprightly, and confess it. Also that I defend and promote, as much as I am able, the honor and good character of my neighbor. Lord's Day 43 speaks of the ninth commandment, the commandment concerning our tongue, on the second table, with four thoughts. First, a given tongue. Secondly, a misused tongue. Thirdly, an upright tongue. And fourthly, an accountable tongue. The ninth commandment, the commandment concerning our tongue on the second table. A given tongue, a misused tongue, an upright tongue, and fourthly, an accountable tongue. Thus first, a given tongue. Beloved congregation, by renewal in this evening hour, we are called upon to dwell at the mount of Mount Sinai at its foot, to hear what the Lord has to say unto us. Then we have dwelt at this foot of this mountain already many times. And may I ask you, how is it now with that dwelling? We have heard, you can remember it, maybe boys and girls, that the law is given by an good doing and an all-wise God for different purposes. In the first place, for uncovering as a mirror, that we may see our sins. In the second place, as a schoolmaster to Christ. And in the third way, in the part of gratitude and in the context of our catechism, then it concerns the child of God that has experienced much, and then in the way of thanksgiving, and now young and old, how is it now with our sin, with our guilt? Have we become ashamed? Have we become burdened with our debt? Or are you glad that we are coming closer to the end of the law. And what then, congregation, is it bound upon our heart that if our sins are not pardoned, that they are still all on our account, and the wages of sin is death, and only one step, a breath, a heartbeat between us and death, and then we shall be called upon to appear before our judge, and then truth shall prevail. Have there been a few souls, those mourners in Zion, that have learned the exceeding sinfulness of sin, that have received love also for God's law, although each commandment condemns us, and that have tried so hard to keep that law, and that have heard more and more what great sinners we are, that have learned that from our side forever impossible, but that it has been used, that you were given to flee to the city of refuge and to need the death of the high priest, so beautiful portrayed in this morning with the sacrament of holy baptism, for the church, in the part of gratitude, the Lord willing, in the coming Lord's Day, then we hope to hear how it ought to be in the life of a child of God so dependent upon the immediate influence and working of the Holy Spirit. And now our ninth commandment, when we have said the commandment concerning our tongue in the book of Proverbs, then Solomon has spoken often of our mouth, our lips, our tongue. We have heard it out of Proverbs 12, verse 19. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. And in verse 22, a lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Of course, this commandment, according to Psalm 119, verse 96, is exceeding broad, and then it goes further than our tongue, and then especially in our day, with all the new technology, then how the sins against this commandment, that they are multiplied, then how necessary that each day we are given to ask with the psalmist of Psalm 141, verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the doors of my lips, and now our first thought, a given tongue. The psalmist in Psalm 139, verse 14, has declared, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. What a precious gift, and what a wonderful creation our tongue is. That is not a gift that is given to the birds and to the beasts. Although the birds, they can sing, do we ever become jealous of the birds, boys and girls, young people, and older ones, when early in the morning and during the day, when we may hear the birds sing the Lord's praises, what do we then think about? That we have to tell the Lord, Lord, those birds, they are still on the earth for the purpose wherewith thou hast created them. Already early in the morning, they are given to sing thy praises, and I have lost my purpose, and the people of God learn also in the way of thanksgiving that they have nothing of self, a blessing when they may need the praying and thanking high priest at the right hand of the Father, when it becomes lively with a vehement and desire that the Lord may be praised by us and by our fellow man. What a precious gift that the tongue is, that we may be given to share our thoughts with one another. Just imagine, boys and girls, if we did not have a tongue, then we would not really need to come to church, because we could not sing, we could not preach, and then there would not be a sermon, we could not pray. And now concerning that given tongue, then the Lord has created Adam and Eve in his image, and then for an Adam and Eve, they were given to use their tongue to speak to one another, but above all, to speak to the Lord and to praise his great and worthy name. The Lord has also said unto Moses concerning the tongue in Exodus 4, verse 11, who maketh the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Oh, it is true for those that are dumb who cannot speak. They are kept from many sins, of course. The sins, they dwell in our hearts. And nevertheless, what a precious gift it is that we may speak to one another. And now concerning that given tongue, it was given by the God of truth in Titus 1 verse 2, the God that cannot lie, the God that has promised to never forsake the work of his own hands. We read of the old apostle John that at the end of his life that he was given to speak and focus more on the life of the church, of the true believer. We read in his three epistles 20 times that there is spoken of truth, 5 times of a liar. In 1 John 2 verse 4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And in 1 John 4, verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. And now, young and old, how has it now come where the God of all truth has created man in his image? How has it now come about the great sin against the 9th commandment, that is through the instigation of the devil, where in John 8 verse 44, for he is a liar and the father of it. Oh, in Genesis 3, when the devil was given to see the happiness and the joy of the image bearers of God, Adam and Eve, then he was filled with revenge and anger. And then in Genesis 3, then he has told many a lie. Then he has said unto Eve, and has God said, that ye may not eat of any tree of the garden? And then further, then he has plainly said that thou shalt not die. And now the father of lies, he continues in that way, does not mean that he never telleth the truth. Oh, in the life of a child of God, then how the devil can come with his accusations concerning their sins, sins which they have committed, temptations which they have given into the evil of their heart. Oh, then the devil comes with truth in the way of divine providence, telling a child of God that the promise is not fulfilled. And nevertheless, the father of lies, then he continues in this very day, and then even especially in the lives of our youth. Oh, then he tries to tell you young people that the service of the Lord, that it is a hard service, that if you would be converted, then you may not do anything, then you shall have a dull and a boring life. Oh, then the devil concerning sin before we committed, that it is not so great, others committed, the circumstances, the time that we live in, and that it can be forgiven. And after we have committed sin, then he tries to drive us to despair. But let us remember that the devil is a liar from the beginning, and then it is so necessary, under all the assaults and the attacks of the prince of darkness, that we are much a praying people. And the sixth petition, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our second thought, a misused tongue. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Maybe for our little boys and girls, those are difficult words. Then the ninth commandment says that we may never lie. I think our children all knows what it is to lie. That it is when we do not tell the truth, when we do not tell the full truth. Robert Layton has said concerning our words, so often too quickly and too often. And therefore James has written in James 1 verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let everyone be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. In James 3, a chapter devoted to the tongue, that it is hell set on fire. And now this commandment, that is exceeding broad, our words, writing, texting, you can multiply it out. Then in the first place, when we tell a lie, many reasons and many examples in the Bible, even of God's people, that have told a lie. And in this evening, there would not be one concerning this commandment that would dare to raise their hand and say, I have never told a lie. What are the reasons with Abram? He has said that his wife was his sister because he feared that he would be killed. Jacob, oh, he had such a desire for the Lord's blessing. That was good. Hope there are many in our midst that need the Lord's blessing. But he has deceived this old father to gain that blessing. The brothers of Joseph, they have covered it up. dipped his skin in blood and have deceived their father that he would not be punished. Potiphar's wife, in hatred and envy, has told a lie concerning Joseph. Gehazi, he had a covetous heart, greed. Then he has returned to Naaman, said to sons of the prophets have come, desired some money and two changes of garment. Haman, in the way of revenge, an evil report concerning the Jewish nation. Of Peter, the fear of man that he would be mocked, and therefore he has said that he knew not his master and his savior. Then our instructors, they also speak of bearing false witness. Then we think of courts concerning the accused, the witnesses, what a deceit and what a lying, even under oath, that are made in the judicial systems. How many, because of falsehood, have ended up in prison and have been put to death. When we think of courts, then we think of older people, but boys and girls. I have read of a little girl, 9 years old, that was called to go to court to witness because she had seen a thief on her parents' property. And then that little girl, she went with much fear and much trembling to appear in the midst of that courtroom. And then the lawyer for the thief did not think it was proper that such a little girl would be a witness. And then the judge said, we shall examine that little girl. Her name was Emily. And then the judge says, my girl, have you ever sworn oath? And then she said, no. Then the judge, he put a Bible in front of her. And the judge says, what is this book? Is the Bible. What is written in the Bible? The living word of the great God. Just then you hear it, boys and girls, that little girl has been taught well. And then the judge says, have you not read this book? And then she could say, judge, I read it every evening. You also do that, right, boys and girls? Before you go to bed, to read a portion out of God's word. And then the judge asked her to put her right hand upon the Bible. And then the judge asked her whether she would speak the truth, the full truth, and nothing but the truth. And then she said, yes. And then the judge says, my girl, do you know what shall happen if you do not speak the truth? Then she says, then I shall be put in prison. And what else? Then she says, I cannot go to heaven. And so she was given to witness. And then she could tell the judge, before I have come here, then my mother has taken me apart and told me what it is to swear an oath and that the Lord hears everything. And then mother and I have bowed our knees and she has asked whether the Lord would help me that I may tell nothing but the truth. And my mother has said that this whole world is actually like a courtroom, that every day that the Lord hears everything, what we speak and say, whether it is the truth. Then further, the instructors are given to speak, to falsify one's words, unintentional, take it out of context, half-truth, backbiting, talking behind one's back, slander, spreading false information to hurt the character of our neighbor. Thomas Watson has said that a slander, that he has a devil under his tongue, and those that listen to a slander, that they have a devil in their ear. In the Middle Ages, there was a young man that slandered a fellow man, and his conscience began to speak. That is still a blessing, when we may have a tender conscience. And then he went to his minister, to a monk, and he said, "This is what I have done. How can I rectify it?" Then that monk says, "My young friend, you must purchase a bag of feathers and go through the town and put a feather by each doorstep." And he did so because he had a troubled conscience. And then that young man went back and he says, "Is there anything else that I must do?" And then that minister said, "Now you must go around town and gather all those feathers." And that young man said, "That is impossible." And the minister says, "Then you see what a great sin it is to slander our fellow man." Oh, the apostle is warned about busybodies concerning gossip. When we hear of these things, congregation, then how necessary to be often on our knees. Then this commandment, then how exceeding broad may it be used for uncovering in this evening hour. We read in Proverbs 16, verse 28, a whisper separates the closest friends. To rashly joining in condemning, ah, think of that God-fearing Hannah. What a precious place, with her burdens, with her needs, with her desires, where she was given to come in the tabernacle and pour out her heart, and where she was given to make that vow that if the Lord would grant a man-child, it would be one for the service of the Lord. And that old priest Eli, alas, alas, was such a dark time. Sometime it happened that people would even dare to come to the tabernacle drunken. And then he is judged so quickly. Oh, Hannah was given to tell, unburden her heart. Hannah was glad that the Lord sees and knows everything, that she was given to pour out her heart. Think of David, when he was given to flee from Jerusalem, and that as Ziba has come, slandered Mephibosheth, and that David is judged quickly and has not searched out the matter, then this commandment, our instructors, in the context of the second commandment to love our neighbor, then they have confined it to our neighbor, then we could also speak of spiritual lying, has been pointed out in the third commandment, when with our oaths that we make in God's house, when there is not sincerity, we cannot say before an all-knowing God, Lord, thou knowest insufficient, but thou knowest my desire, that I have a desire to walk in thy ways. Our third thought, an upright tongue, let us first sing. Psalter 21, the four stanzas. O Lord, be thou my helper true, for just and godly men are few, the faithful who can find from truth and wisdom men depart. With flattering lips and double heart, they speak their evil mind, and what follows. Psalter 21, the four stanzas. The ninth commandment, the commandment concerning our tongue on the second table. A given tongue, a misused tongue, and now thirdly, an upright tongue, or a kind tongue. We have heard out of Proverbs 12, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Sometime it happens, even among boys and girls, can be on the bus, can be on the school, that boys and girls, that they say mean things to other children, that pierces their heart like a sword, that make them very sad. Sometime it even happens that those children, they cry at home and that they have a dislike to come to school. That must not be so, boys and girls. It can be when young people become a little older and there are those that have much respect for God's word, an impression that they are called to walk according to this word, that their fellow classmates, that they mock with them. Let us always remember that the Lord hears everything, that he is not an idle onlooker, and that he shall visit it. And not limited to the children and to the young, but also among the older, with the desire to elevate ourselves when we put our fellow man down. But in this commandment, then the positive, that in judgment and all other dealings, I love the truth, that I speak it uprightly, bear with the infirmities of my fellow man, that I confess it. We have heard out of the third commandment concerning the misusing of the name of the Lord, that it is a great sin when we remain silent. And now also in this commandment, then the instructors, they impress upon our heart the great sin of our silence. And the Lord has a people that become guilty under their silence. It can be with their prayers and their good intentions. There can be the fear of man, and it seems that at times they are so tongue-tied that they are so silent concerning the sins of the time, but also what they have experienced. Then we can even broaden it out concerning the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that I speak it uprightly and confess it also, that I defend and promote as much as I am able the honor and good character of my neighbor. In the first place, to pray for our neighbor. Secondly, to honestly and brotherly admonish. Thirdly, and not to bring on the streets of Ascalon, but follow Matthew 18. Fourthly, to judge charitably. Fifthly, and not judge without proof. In the sixth place, to defend innocence. And seventh, and not listen or promote tale-bearing. Our forethought and accountable tongue. Matthew 12, verse 36. That every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Let us remember, young and old, that the truth shall prevail. It is true, here in the time, much is not uncovered, but on the great day of judgment, then we shall be examined by an all-knowing judge, and then the book shall be opened. James is written in James 3, verse 2, For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able to bridle the whole body. Then our instructors have used strong language concerning the third commandment. Then they have said that there is no sin more provoking to God, and that it deserves eternal death. In this Lord's Day, concerning the ninth commandment, the proper works of the devil, and bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. Then the instructors are saying, concerning the sin of this commandment, then we are following the devil. Then we are doing the works of the devil. The word devil, that means to be a slanderer. In Luke 16, concerning the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, and when the rich man, when he was given to lift up his eyes in hell and given to see Lazarus carried in the bosom of Abram, and we do not read of that rich man, of the wrong words he has all spoken, but then it is remarkable, it is true. Oh, what a solemn thought. Each member with which we sin, when we remain unconverted, that shall be punished in hell. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But of that rich man, he had a special request that one would be sent with a little water to cool his tongue. Already here in the time concerning this commandment, a troubled conscience, the fear of being found out. Apostle John had a glorious vision in Revelations 21 and 22 of that holy city of Jerusalem, foundations, the streets of gold, no sorrow, no sickness, and no tears. Ah, that shall be the blessed portion of the true people of God. But then we read in those chapters, in chapter 21, verse 8, that for those that lie, that their portion shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. In Revelation 21, verse 17, one that tells a lie, that cannot enter into those gates. In Revelation 22, verse 15, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, and no place for them in that city. What must we then do, congregation? Ah, then it may be declared, there has come one, not one sin against the ninth commandment, but a Jesus falsely accused, the hall of Caiaphas, false witnesses, they have twisted his words, concerning the breaking down of the temple. He has stood there in the place for his people, for those that have also sinned so grievously, so greatly against the ninth commandment, the love of the Savior, that he was willing to give himself to such a people, for black, for vile sinners, that have told lies in their childhood, and they have continued. The Lord has a people that become a guilty people, and they are given to mourn over particular sins. We read in the Beatitudes, blessed are they that mourn. Are there such mourners in this evening? With a short explanation of the ninth commandment, burdened with their debt, demanding justice, that are given to say, what must they now do? Such a guilty and such a hell-worthy sinner, but the Lord has a people that may say, Lord, I am a great sinner, the ninth commandment testifieth against me. But thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. If it was possible to walk perfectly in thy sight, never to grieve thee no more, shall not be here in the time. A sanctification is in part, but all for the church may be declared in this evening what I read in John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and by the work of the Spirit ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make thee free. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have all heard that we are guilty, very guilty in thy holy sight. May we be brought on our knees and be given to seek and to find the pardoning, the precious blood of thy dear Son. We may commence another week. When the old father is still in the land of the living, awaken men and once more unto thee. Wilt thou watch over us all in the home, work, at school, and on the way. Keep us from sin and temptation, as set a watch before our lips. Wilt thou keep from harm and danger. Wilt thou be our guide, our protector, and our provider. May we be found more to be a praying and a begging people, O Lord. Pour out the Pentecostal Spirit in a richer measure upon us and our dear children. Bring us now safely to our dwellings. Grant some rest. May we awake in the morning. Wilt thou gather with the consistory when they hope to meet tomorrow evening. Bring the congregation faithfully together for a weekday service to hear what thou hast to say unto us. By renewal, we commend unto thee the need in the realm of nature. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 335, the stanzas 1 and 2. A deceit and falsehood I abhor, but love thy law, thy truth revealed. My steadfast hope is in thy word, and what follows, Psalter 335, the first two stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.